Well, hello and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Portia.
And this is Katie.
Katie, how you doing?
I am doing well.
Good.
As we do this interview today, listeners, we are, 9 days away from Christmas? 8, 7, Portia? I don't
know. It's next week.
It's next week.
It's 4 sleeps until my parents arrive in town, but they don't arrive on Christmas Day. So, but it'll be past the time when people hear this. So just think back that anticipation and excitement that is in my house because Pop and Grandma are coming to see
us. And that's such beautiful anticipation, but don't you find like you're trying to clean and wash your sheets and do this and that too. That's kind of the mode I'm in.
Because the cleaning the things that let's all tell the truth. We know there are places in our house that never get touched until somebody is coming to your house.
Somebody's coming. So that's the mode I'm in right now. But it's kind of fun too. I like to give a good purge and clean and
absolutely.
Little things made. So it'll be interesting after this COVID Christmas to hear stories of how things were so different, because I do, Portia, keep hearing story after story of like my kids' friends who were planning on flying home for Christmas and now they have COVID. They're alone, they're in an apartment in LA and they can't fly to the East Coast. And so listeners, again, when you hear this, Christmas is going to be over.
Right.
But I keep saying to myself, rejoice in the Lord always.
Amen.
And again, I say rejoice. And I heard a beautiful word on that, that it really is a command and a discipline, not an emotion.
That's good.
And I keep saying, no matter how different this season is, I will rejoice simply in the fact that Jesus is King and he is mine and he is for me and not against me. And you are healed of COVID, right, Portia?
I am healed of COVID. Yes, I had it. My husband had it, but we are so much better and are out of the residue effects from it. And I'm so thankful and wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. It's not fun, but...
Dude, and now you can actually go somewhere, at least for a while, because you're immune.
Yes.
Right?
We don't know how long the immunity will last, but that's what they say. So, I mean, we're still guys, listeners, we are still being safe. We are still masking up, washing our hands. But again, shouldn't we have been washing our hands before COVID? I'm just going to put that out there.
I'm just saying.
Let's just have some good hygiene. Okay. Katie and I could keep going on and on, but we have a guest today. She is a new friend, but part of the body of Christ. So therefore she is our sister. And we are so excited to have Miss Marcia DeSille with us today. Welcome, Marcia.
Thank you. So great to be here today, Katie and Portia. Thank you so much for having me.
We are so glad you're here.
So glad, because your publicist or your publishing company or someone sent me an advance copy of your book. And I have been reading it. Portia is going to read your bio in a minute and give the title and everything. But I just want to say, I feel like I know you a little bit already, just from reading such words of wisdom. So welcome.
Thank you so much. So great to be here. Thank you so much.
Before I read your bio, listeners, you can't see Marcia, but she has on fabulous earrings. I mean, it just, I see you, Marcia. Those are gorgeous.
Thank you so much. I don't really do necklaces or anything. I do earrings. I love earrings.
Off the charts good. And she has the most beautiful smile, listeners.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Part of us is super relieved that this is just audio and not video, because Portia and I, sometimes our hair isn't quite combed. And but we sure do wish you could see our guest faces, because just so beautiful. But
They are.
Thank you.
Launch in with the bio, Portia.
All right. Has God given you a dream, one so big, so out of reach, that you can give 1,000 reasons why it can never come to fruition? Motivation might be low, money tight, and life busy, but push through your procrastinations and keep the result in mind. There's something beautiful waiting to be born. Graveyards are full of callings that people never got around to answering. Procrastination is that cunning of a thief. It steals time. It tells us that we can put things off, so the perfect moment may never come, says today's guest. Pull up a chair as Marcia shares her story in her new book, Called to Inspire. Marcia, I am so excited to hear this because I think coming out of 2020, I think that is a message that people need to hear, to dream, that you can still dream. And so I'm excited to dive in.
I am so excited too. And I can't wait to get to talk to you about your book. But before we launch into that, let's hear a little bit of your backstory.
So when I started Called, it really wasn't the plan. My mom was a senior pastor. And so I had always grown up in the church before she became a senior pastor. But the plan was to go into law, work on public policy and legislation. Up until that point, I had gotten a master's in social work and I had been a social worker. I had been a legislative researcher. And then I was in graduate school doing my master's in public in education policy at the University of Michigan. And I got this idea to start this online devotional. And the online devotional led to a following. And I said to someone who was doing like the digital design for the devotionals, what would happen if we put up like subscription sales? Let's see if someone would subscribe to a magazine for Christian women. And next thing I knew, people were subscribing to a magazine that did not exist. And I was like, oh my goodness, now we have to come up with this magazine that does not exist. And we did. We came up, I put an ad on Craigslist for an advertising sales director. And lo and behold, someone ended up applying who has become a great friend of mine. And his wife has called for 13 years. And subscribers started to subscribe. Advertisers started to advertise.
Wow.
And thus was the birth of Called. But it's very strange because I never thought of myself as a minister of any sort. I didn't go to seminary. You know, I was just an everyday Christian, just like everyone else. Mm-hmm. But the Lord had this plan. And, you know, oftentimes in our lives, we make plans and, you know, God has his say. And here I am, someone who at the time I was 27 years old. I had never worked in journalism. I had never been in ministry. And here I was starting this magazine. But what's interesting is I often think about David in the Bible when I think about the way things unfolded. David never expected that he would be a warrior in battle, you know, slaying Goliath. But the Lord used him, his work as a shepherd boy to train him to kill Goliath. In many ways, a lot of my education, a lot of my work experiences prepared me to do Called. And in many ways, I am the demographic. You know, God has called each and every one of us to do something great with our lives, to touch the world with the kingdom of God. And it may not be the way that we had planned.
Right.
And so we encourage women to really look at their day-to-day lives, their day-to-day callings, whether it's in ministry, directly in ministry, or if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a mother. These are all callings. We are all called to do something great for the kingdom of God. We are one body made up of many different parts. And the way that the Lord works is that he works in unexpected ways.
Right.
And we have to be flexible. The calling on our lives may not unfold the way we originally envisioned, but God will order our steps. And often, in many ways, he will take us in directions that we never even planned. And that's exactly what happened with my life and Called.
Wow, I love that. I'm curious. Okay, so you did the online devotional, and then you're like, let's see. That scenario of, well, let's just see what happens. Is that part of who you are?
Yeah, it's odd because I consider myself to be a planner in many ways. I consider myself to be a type A personality. And this is what makes it so interesting is that we know that God is moving when things are happening in a way that we traditionally wouldn't have expected it to unfold. Like with my personality, it seems a bit odd that I would venture out like that. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, let's see if someone will subscribe. I didn't even read magazines. This is what's so ironic. I liked books. I liked biography. So this notion of magazine is just kind of odd. It's bizarre. And even the name Called, that wasn't really a word that I used in my day-to-day life. Today, it feels so commonplace, but at the time, it wasn't something that was a part of my day-to-day vocabulary, saying that someone was called. And oftentimes, we will notice the hand of God when things start happening in a way that we wouldn't have done it that way in our natural selves, right? This is not what I would have done. This is not what I would have naturally envisioned. But the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit orders our steps and takes us in directions and opens doors that we wouldn't naturally have opened in our natural selves. And so that's kind of what happened with Paul. It's really, when I think about it, it sounds so crazy. It sounds so crazy to think, oh, let's see if anyone will subscribe to a magazine. And then people start subscribing. And but the same God who gives us a vision is the same God who will make a way. Again, suddenly, not only did we have subscribers, but we had advertisers. I did not have experience in advertising, but the same God who gave the vision was the same God who made a way to finance that vision. And that's just really what we have to be open to. We have to be open to any direction that the Lord will take us in. We have to remember that our God is the God of creativity. You know, he's not gonna always do things the way that we think they will unfold. You know, it defies kind of who he is. He's a creative God who will open all sorts of unexpected doors. And we have to be a flexible people. We have to be the people who are governed by the Holy Spirit and are willing to follow wherever the Holy Spirit guides. And that's kind of how Called unfolded. So in many ways, what this book talks about is not only walking out our calling, but being courageous enough to follow when the Lord starts to lead. That is something that we have to be able to do. We have to be a courageous people that is what that are willing to follow the Lord wherever he leads. And that calling may not be what you initially expected.
Yeah.
I love that, Marcia, because one of our missions on this podcast is to offer courage and hope for people and an idea of purposeful living through people's stories. So your story is such a perfect one.
It's a crazy story, but it's a God story.
It's a God story. I love it. It just gels with our mission. And as you were talking, I started thinking about that Bible study by Henry Blackaby. Have either of you guys ever done a study called Experiencing God?
Oh, I have the book.
I have it.
Yeah.
You have the book. Oh,
And real quick, his premise is basically that God is at work all around us all the time. He will invite you in to his work. But when he does, there usually erupts a crisis of faith. And what are you going to do with that? Are you going to step into what you're saying is his calling? You know, are you going to step into that and answer the invitation to join God at what he wants done? Or are you, you know, bound to your own plans and you go ahead without exercising that faith? There's more, obviously there's a lot more to it, but just that premise is what I hear you doing. Like,
absolutely. And even in our struggles, you know, a lot of the things that we are going through, we have to recognize that God causes all things to work towards our good, but it goes a little further than that, to work towards the good of others in a many ways. So in the first chapter of Call to Inspire, I talk about Harriet Tubman. And what makes Harriet Tubman so phenomenal is that not only was she able to free herself, but she was able to go back and free many others. And oftentimes God allows us as believers to go through things in our lives, not just so that we can find our freedom in him, but we can also be facilitators of other people's freedoms. You know, I don't know about you, but the people who inspire me the most are the people who have actually been through something in life. And so we have to even look at our challenges differently. The things that we go through, God is preparing us to help someone else come through that as well. So our victory is not just about our freedom, but also about someone else's. And that is also a part of our calling. Our calling is to also help people be free. And that doesn't mean that God is a God who is going to call for us to have certain hardships. No, but God will take hardships mm-hmm. and to turn that into a calling. You know,
yeah.
when we in this life, we will all have trials and
tribulations. Yeah.
That's what the Bible ensures, right? Unfortunately. But the good thing is that we will also have victory, and mm-hmm. God will take those challenges and those victories and turn that into a part of our callings. And so we have to be open. It comes back to that. We have to be open. I can't tell you how many women I have had chats with who say, you know, I'm still searching for a calling. I am just a mother. You're just yeah. a mother. Being a right. mother is one of the greatest callings in the world.
Yeah.
You know, where God has entrusted you to raise these children up and to be a voice of guidance towards them and to show them which way they should go. And so even in being a mother, we have to start to embrace the many callings that we may have.
Yeah.
Being a mother may just be one of the many great callings that you may have. God right. has given us each season, and even through seasons of hardship, there is calling. Even in the season of being a mother, there's a calling. Mm-hmm. And so we also have to be open to seeing our lives through God's eyes and being vehicles and vessels, no matter what season we are going through, our seasons of hardship, our seasons of raising our children, our seasons of working in the workforce, whatever it is, there is a calling, many different callings. And we have to be open to everything that the Lord has us to do.
That's so good. I love that. I love the wording that you're using, openness, flexibility, basically saying not holding so tight to what we think. You've said a couple times, it might not look the way you thought it would. It might not go the way that you had it planned. But at the end of the day, the bottom line, the end of the story, God has always had a plan and he's working through your life. And I love that so much. I love what you said about it's not just for us, what you're walking through. It's not just so you can have freedom. Thank you for using the example of Harriet Tubman. Free people, free people. And that's what she did. And that, I believe, is part of what we do as believers. It looks differently. Some plant, some water, some harvest, but it's the Lord who causes the growth and the increase. And so how we are bringing freedom to somebody else, it may not be the same. Like what you're doing, Marcia, and what I'm doing may not be the same, but both of us have our place to play as far as bringing freedom to others.
Absolutely. Definitely.
And it really does take courage. Think of Harriet Tubman, and she gets free and she's in Philadelphia, right? Wasn't it Philadelphia she went to?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so. Yes.
At first. Anyway, point is, she's finally free. And then she knows the Holy Spirit is stirring her to go mm-hmm. free others. Think of that crisis of faith.
Wow.
And the courage it took to obey, to answer that invitation into God's work and go do it. Mm-hmm.
It seems bizarre because most of us would just celebrate and dance that we were free.
Exactly.
You know, I've thought about right. that story many times. And, you mm-hmm. know, I think what's interesting is I'm not sure I could, to be honest, I don't know if I could have done that. I don't know mm-hmm. if I would have gone back. Supposedly, this woman went back and did hundreds of
yes.
trips, brought back
yes.
hundreds of people. I'm not sure, but what's interesting is what we're called to do, there is a supernatural
yes.
courage that accompanies that calling. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have to understand that sometimes it will seem bizarre to other people because that's not what they're called to do.
Exactly.
And, you know, the point of reference has to always be the Lord. The point of reference always has to be the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit is emboldening, you know, giving us this power to do. And so when I think about Harriet Tubman, there's just, I can't imagine after receiving my freedom and risking my life and my safety to go back so many times to free others, but because that was her calling.
Exactly. Right? And she was empowered.
And she was empowered.
And
she was emboldened. She was given the supernatural strength to do that. And for other people, what I really encourage women to realize is, when God gives you a vision, not only will he give provision, but he will give you this supernatural courage to move forward with it. And we spend a lot of time sometimes trying to get approval from other people, trying to get affirmation from other mm-hmm. people. And, you know, that's great when you get it. Sometimes you will, but it's not essential. What is essential is that you feel that check in your spirit that the Lord is releasing you to do this thing. And the Lord will also give you a peace and a courage that will accompany that thing, whatever your calling is.
Yeah, that's a word. That's so encouraging. Especially in the season that we're in right now, the whole world and dealing with the pandemic, of just knowing even in the midst of this, God has a plan and God will give you the supernatural courage to do the thing that he has called you to do, which for some, it's being at home with your kids because you're doing distance learning. For others, it's reimagining what your business is going to look like because there's so many different restrictions depending on where you're living. But I believe that's just such a good word, Marcia, of God giving supernatural courage to do the call that he's placed on your life. That's powerful.
And I'll tell you this, Marcia, one of the callings that God has placed on me during this season is to write this book. But I set it aside and I haven't worked on it in months. Why? It's called procrastination. Now, when I picked up your book and started daily reading it, and we're going to talk about your book in a minute and the beautiful way you've organized it, which I really find fascinating. But of course, I wasn't following your organization. And I was reading one section a day. But I picked it up and I read this quote about graveyards are full of callings that people never got around to answering. Procrastination is that cunning of a thief. It steals time. It tells us that we can put things off so the perfect moment may never come. And there you had a whole thing on procrastination. I'm telling you, Marcia, I'm sure you hear from readers all the time about how God himself used your written word to speak a word into a particular life. But I just want to be one of those readers and tell you, oh my goodness, God could not have been more direct. It's like, seriously, I have told you this is a good work that I have prepared beforehand that you walk in. And you're procrastinating for a variety of reasons. And, you know, I love the way that in this book, and readers, the title is called, but underneath it's to inspire, called to inspire. And truthfully, you as an author, I can see it, you are totally called to inspire because I'm inspired by the way you write very succinctly your stories, but your message stirred up inspiration in me to care more about my own calling and fulfilling it and being courageous and writing it with other people in mind and not what it's like, oh, you know, this is hard and this story is stupid and I don't like it and why am I bothering? And, you know, the enemy gets in people's heads.
Absolutely.
But what I want to talk about real quick, called to inspire, it's 52 life-changing questions.
Oh, wow.
So the idea is one question a week.
A week, absolutely. And what's interesting about this book is that a lot of the topics that didn't directly speak to my experience as a young entrepreneur, but They came from letters that different readers had sent to me over the years. Mm. So a lot of these topics actually came from our readers. So I pulled from the letters, I pulled from the emails, I pulled from the Facebook posts about what our readers had been struggling with. And that's how I came up with these 52 life-changing questions, because they were actual questions and issues that women from different demographics had asked over the years. So that was really pain, dealing with pain, particularly church hurt. It's amazing how many believers have been hurt at their churches, you know, not in the world, dealing with unforgiveness, dealing with procrastination, dealing with fear, you know. And so it was really fun because I one of the benefits of having called is that I get a copy of almost every book that comes out. And so I try to pick topics that at least take a different approach or a different angle to topics that I had not seen over the years in different devotional books. So the ladies really, the readers, the female readers really get a fresh take on it. And Tyndale was great because they also permitted me to include a journal prompt, you know, for journaling and a weekly scripture. So there's just so much in here. And this one little book, not only do you get a weekly devotional, but you have a little journal companion with you. Mm-hmm. It was just really well done. It was something that was different from what I had seen in other devotional books. So I really hope the readers will be blessed by it.
That's what I thought too. I thought, hey, how unique. I've never seen 52.
Yeah.
You know, you like a month of this or, you know, 21 days to freedom or whatever. I'm like, I kind of like one question a week to really ponder, journal, scripture. Yeah. And it's something, listeners, that you could do alongside something else.
Right.
My problem is always like, oh my gosh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to, you know, so I have like a stack. And to have one where you can do one question a week is fabulous because it, and you do have a, not a different take, like totally out there take on different subjects, but a fresh word that inspires.
Thank you very much.
I think that's so great in our culture where we consume things in large quantities, whether it's the show we're watching or even the podcast that we're listening to. Like, it's rare that I just listen to one podcast episode. At least one and a half, if not two, depending on what household thing I'm doing. I'm in my house a lot, as many of us are. So the fact that your book almost forces you to slow down. I mean, of course, someone could sit down and read it in one setting if they chose to do that. But I love that you set it up with the intention of let's slow down, let's really think and reflect. I think that's an amazing and very practical tool that is almost countercultural with how we approach things that are self-development, that are reflecting on, okay, where am I and where do I want to go? Which leads to our next question. What are some of the things or some of the reasons that people don't pursue their calling?
Well, I think one of the obvious, there's actually, is that they don't feel as though they have the resources or support to do that, right? A lot of the times it's financial reasons. And the other part is they just don't feel, they feel alone. And there's a chapter in the book about Gideon and his army and how the Lord reduced the size of the army, not because the Lord has a predilection for making us feel as though we're alone, but because he wanted to make it clear that he was the one who led to victory. And we have to always remember that everything that we accomplish as believers is to bring God glory. And what glory does he get if we already have all the financial resources we need, all the human support that we need? Then it doesn't appear as though we need God. So sometimes God will reduce our army, so to speak, to make it unequivocally clear that he's the one who's doing this wonderful work in our lives. And so again, everything comes back to God, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to remember that if we don't feel strong enough, if we don't feel equipped enough, if we don't feel prepared enough, if we don't feel knowledgeable enough, that's where God enters. And again, that's also what he did when I started called. I was a 27-year-old graduate student who, you know, didn't have any connections, didn't have a whole lot of money, didn't have any of those things, but God showed himself to be my provider throughout that process. The same thing will happen with our callings, you know. The only way we will know that God is doing a work in our lives is if we don't feel as though we have everything in the natural, where God shows up and he provides those things. So the very thing that is keeping so many of us from answering the calling in our lives is the very thing that God does not want us to have. God wants to be that provider. He wants to open those doors. And so we must remember that God is the one who is making this happen. We're not making this happen. We are vessels through which God works through, but God is not going to give us everything beforehand because then we will get the glory. We will get the victory. No, he wants the glory. And he wants to shine through the work that we do.
What a word, listeners. Oh, I hope you heard that. And take it into your soul. I was on this Zoom meeting last night talking about this program we're going to do at church. It's not a program. It's a course. It's Alpha. And anyway, and the director, he said, I met this fabulous couple. They would be so great as leaders, but they are saying they're not ready. And I chuckled because I'm like, hey, I just read a devotional.
Yes.
About don't say, you know, if you don't feel ready, that's good. Because if you do feel like I am so ready, I have got it all planned out, and, you know, then are you doing it in your own strength? Are you doing it in the flesh? And then will anything supernatural happen, or will you force things to happen in the flesh? And here's a word. We can accomplish things in the flesh. We can make things happen in the flesh, but they won't have that eternal supernatural result behind it. We can stir up earthly results and it can look good to us. Mm-hmm. But when we're really following the calling of God, like you're talking about, Marcia, and it's Him at work, oh my, it's just different, isn't it?
Absolutely. Marcia, tell us from the online devotional that you were doing to book completion, what was the time frame there?
So I started Called 13 years ago. I just turned 40, believe it or not.
Welcome to the decade. It's a great one.
I'm officially an adult now. Yeah. So I was 27. The book, Tyndale House Publishers, I signed the book deal, two book deals. We have Called to Pray coming out in February, which is really great. That book, all God. It took all sorts of Lord to help me get through that book. If you really want to lean on the Lord, write a book on prayer. I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
You will really have to lean on God for that. He will make you pray while you're writing a book on prayer. But so that happened 2 years ago. So it was, I never had, you know, it's interesting. I was never that person who wanted to write a book. Like that was never my thing. It was never on my bucket list, let alone but again, so it took about I signed the book deal 2 years ago. So about the 11 year mark, which it would have taken that amount of time really, because a large part of the majority of that book pulls from experiences that I have had with Called audience over the last 13, well, at the time, 11 years.
Right.
So, so it was about 11 year journey.
No, I love that so much because I think sometimes, and I think our culture does this because we watch movies and the story, there's resolution so quickly. For our listeners and to hear, yes, you had this call to do the magazine and then the opportunity to write the book, but this didn't happen like in a matter of months. That there was a lot of life living. There was a lot of, okay, again, God, I'm going to allow you to be my provider and I'm not going to freak out and I'm going to allow you to work this out because I know you already have a plan. So I'm going to follow you and lean into that supernatural courage that you've provided for me to do this that you've put in front of me.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, as I shared before, we really have to go through things before, you know, you don't wake up and come out of the womb and are able to really minister. A large part of ministry is really speaking to things that you have been through and in many ways. And I have always found that to be the most powerful voice. When I am in my darkest hour, I don't want to go to someone necessarily who has not been through it. You know, it's one thing to say that the Lord can pull you through it, but it's another thing to hear it from someone who the Lord has already pulled through it, you know?
Right.
And so that's why we have to really look at the challenges that we experience very differently. Mm-hmm. It's not that the Lord has abandoned you. He hasn't, you know, He hasn't just left you alone. He is pulling you through something so that your ministry could be even more powerful, that you can again pull someone through. So for me, you know, there isn't a topic in this book that I chat about that I either didn't experience personally or I had to be alongside someone else who came through that thing. So I experienced it vicariously. So I can say, I know that there's victory in this thing because not only have I either been through it, but this person who I was alongside actually. And in this book, my background, of course, I didn't go to seminary. So it was straight academic. So there are a lot of just resources here as far as real life stories and history, research with the strength of mind. So again, there is the Lord using academic writing in some way, you know, so being able to do that research and to tell the story in a palatable way where it's not so religious. So where you have real life and scripture coming alongside one another. So yeah, it takes time, you know, and real life living, it's not going to happen overnight, you know, right. And it shouldn't happen overnight because right. it's not really inspiring to anyone if it does right. happen overnight.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Marcia, you know, that you did have an education, you did have research skills, you went through experiences, because listeners, we don't want to mislead you into hearing like, if you're not ready, just jump in and do it. God does prepare mm-hmm. us mm-hmm. through experiences, through education, through training, through counseling. He does prepare us for our calling and equip us. We're not saying that there's no preparation needed. Right. It's right. this feeling of, I can't launch out into what God's calling me to do unless
right. I feel there you go.
Ready. Mm. Unless I feel like I'm an expert, unless I feel like I could answer every question. Like with Alpha, you're dealing with people's questions mm. about faith. And so like our conversation last night was, well, these people don't feel ready to help other people answer questions. And I get that. Mm-hmm. But it's the idea that God has already put you through things. And it's okay to say, I don't know, mm-hmm. You know, the answer to that question, but I'll find out, I'll ask others. And then he's continually to walk in that calling. So anyway,
The more we walk in the calling, we start to realize that the Lord has prepared us in non-traditional ways, right? Mm. So I love your point. You know, David was fighting the lions and the bears before he slayed Goliath, right?
Right.
He wasn't this military giant. No, he wasn't.
Right.
But the Lord had prepared him through fighting the lions and the bears. And the more we walk forward in our calling, the more we will realize that, wait a second, when I experienced this,
exactly.
the Lord was preparing me for this.
Exactly. You know?
So I love what Katie is saying, and it's really about how we feel. It's not that we're not prepared in some form or fashion. It's mm-hmm. that sometimes oftentimes our feelings won't line up with, mm-hmm. with what's going on, what the Lord is doing in our lives, you know? Mm-hmm. So absolutely, yeah.
I always think of Moses in that regard. I mean, here he spent 40 years in the desert. Well, what do you think he was doing those 40 years? You know, mm-hmm. God kind of preparing him with desert survival skills. Mm-hmm. And because the next 40 years, then mm-hmm. he spent leading the people through the desert. Mm-hmm. But even Moses, and this is so encouraging, when God is trying to give him his calling, Moses argues with
yeah.
him, oh, please don't send me.
I
can't talk. Can you send someone else, God? You know, mm-hmm. please. Because of his feelings, his emotions. But God is like, no, I will be with you. Mm-hmm. I've chosen you, Moses, and you are going to be the one, and I will be with you, and I will equip you. So despite Moses' feelings of not wanting to go back to Egypt and confront and then do this, that was his calling, and mm-hmm. he walked in it. And mm-hmm. wow, right?
That's right.
So we're in the time of the year where people are going to start thinking, I know there's a lot of good riddance to 2020. I'm not really in that camp personally. I think that there was a lot of gold in good things that happened in 2020. And upon reflection, I think I'll even find some other, not to take away from the fact that it has been a very difficult year. I'm very aware of that. But we're to the time of the year where we start looking to the future. Although I'm wondering if people are not going to do resolutions for 2021 because, you know, we did all that for 2020 and then look what happened, right? But procrastination is something that all of us face, whether it's the beginning of the year, whether it's, you know, finals are coming for your exams in undergrad or graduate work, or like one of my things is we're cleaning the house because it's holiday time, and why I wait till nighttime sometimes to get something clean. I don't know. I work better. No, I don't know. But how do we keep ourselves motivated and to keep moving forward to the call that God has over our life?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, this year, this year was a challenging year because my father was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And he was just, he's just a lively kind of guy, you know, very high energy, criminal defense attorney, always on the, you know, going, and boom, he's hit with stage 4 cancer. And thank God, you know, he's going through the treatment and seems to be doing well. But what that has made me really embrace is what the Bible says, is that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow, right? None of us, no one is guaranteed tomorrow. And as much as we are grateful for life, we always have to remember that this is a temporary thing. You know, our goal is not to be on this earth forever. The goal is to do, to carry out the calling on our lives and to leave this world better than we found it, right? And when we recognize that, you know, this is ephemeral, this is not something we'll have forever, I think we're able to really embrace the here and the now. And what I ask for all of us in 2021 is not every New Year's resolution that we could think of, but that we will actually fulfill the calling on our lives that we are supposed to fulfill in 2021. Of course, we ask the Lord for long life. There's nothing wrong with that. But procrastination requires that we assume that we have a lot more time left, right? If we're putting something off, we are assuming that we have a lot of time left. And we just have to remember that this life thing is not guaranteed tomorrow. We are here temporarily. Our permanent home is not here on this earth. And we have to embrace every moment and to fulfill the calling on our lives for that time. You know, we can't really worry about tomorrow, but we can definitely maximize today.
I like that statement. Say that again. That's catchy.
You know, there's no guarantee for tomorrow, but we can maximize today. That is definitely it, you know? And I think when we think about callings, we think about this, like, this grandiose thing, you know? In this moment, Portia, Katie, and I are called to speak to the listeners right now. This is our calling right now, you know? Your calling may be, you know, hugging your child or speaking a word of encouragement into their lives, you know, or embracing your neighbor or praying for your neighbor with a mask. Amen.
Amen. Well said. Well said.
Please.
Okay. But the point is that, you know, when anytime we put something off, and we are assuming that there is a tomorrow and there is another time. But God is, I think what COVID has taught all of us is that there are no guarantees in this life. Only this moment is guaranteed. And when we're putting something off, you know, there's something greater at stake, and we have to embrace the calling that is in the here and the right now. Amen.
It's so good.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's a good word. And the one thing we do at the end of every podcast is ask our guests, if there is one word, one thought, one image that you would like to leave us with, what would that be?
I say, let us love one another. You know, I think 2020 has not only taught us that, you know, every day is a gift, but it's also taught us the importance of unity. You know, the body of Christ, we need each other. You know, each one of us, we have a different calling. The Bible says we are one body made up of different parts. We are one body made up of many different parts. And I think more than ever, we really just need to love. We need to just start to love each other. You know, we talk about loving the world, but I just ask that we just love each other first, you know, and where the body of Christ really remains a united people. You know, how can a house stand if it's divided? And like on the body of Christ, we have allowed politics and difference to divide us. And let us recognize that our callings are based on us being unified. You know,
that's
it all
so
comes
good.
Together. We are one body. And so I really just pray for that. You know, let's start in house.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a good word, because really when the body is unified and you get to do ministry with people that love you well and you're loving well and there's unity, it's fun.
Yeah.
To carry out your calling.
It really is.
When the enemy gets in there and there's fractions and fighting and selfishness and backbiting and that makes carrying out your calling hard. So I love that final word. Unity. Let's love one another and let's be courageous and get out there and do what God's calling us to.
And do what God has called us to do. Amen.
Amen. That is so good. Listeners, get this book. get this book, be motivated, and not just in your own, this isn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps type of encouragement. This is lean into the supernatural strength, the supernatural courage that has been provided by your heavenly Father to do what he's called you to do. I think that's one of my favorite things about God. He doesn't just say, do it. He was like, no, this is what you're going to do. And then here you go so that you can make it happen. He gives us what we need to make it happen. And Marcia, your book is such a great reminder of that truth and the power that is available to us. And so listeners, get it.
And we just have enjoyed this so much, Marcia. So enjoyed getting to know you a little bit. And
it's been a joy to be here. Thank you so much, Marcia and Katie. It's been really wonderful. And continue the wonderful work that you're doing, because you're blessing so many lives by carrying out your calling. So we thank you and we salute you.
Thank you so much.
Obviously, it's our pleasure. We love it because we get to have new friends like you. Listeners, we love you all.
We love you. Take care. We'll see you next time. We'll see you next time. We'll hear you next time because you can't. Okay.
No, bye, guys. No, you'll hear us. But anyway, bye.